stay seated. We'll get started with our service. Psalms chapter 34, verse number 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Good to be in the Lord's house today. Look forward to hearing from the campers. Brother Tom, would you open us up?
All right, so tonight we're going to hear a lot of testimonies, and I'm looking forward to hearing them as well. And so we'll have some of the specials as well that took place at camp, some of the songs that they sang, some solos and a couple of duets. And you heard from the choir this morning, and just very thankful to be part of that. And so at this time, Jared and Caleb will come and do it.
I just want to start off by saying thank you to all the counselors and Mr. and Mrs. Metzinger for taking care of the camp, and Mrs. Purcell and Mrs. Foster for putting up with all of us girls, especially at 1 o'clock in the morning. All of the messages were really amazing. There were two things from the camp week that really spoke to me most. Brother Inman was an awesome preacher. His messages about being real probably got to me the most. A lot of people fake about being the perfect Christian, but in reality, they're not. Maybe on Sundays and Wednesdays, their life might seem perfect, but it's not. We can't relate ourselves to who we think is the perfect Christian. Be honest about your life and about your Christianity. Mrs. Foster also did our ladies' nightly devotion. She did amazing. One of my favorite of the devotions was about being a good friend, not just bringing up our friends about our looks or prettiness, but about bringing them up in the Lord, not just always telling them how awesome they are, which they are, but really encouraging them to be in God's word and being a good Christian. I don't want to be the friend that's bringing my friends farther away from the Lord. I want to be the one that brings them close to him. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Metzinger, Brother Chuck, Brother Aaron, Mrs. Purcell, Mrs. Foster, and my mom for paying and sending me to camp. I had an amazing time, and God really spoke in all the messages. I'm so thankful I got to go. Thank you all.
Favorite part about camp was the pool, because the water slide and the food. And how God spoke to my heart during camp. And there was one service when he talked about being a real Christian and not being on an act. I'm thankful for Pastor letting us go to camp, or else I wouldn't be able to tell any of
them. So this was my last junior year. And my favorite part about camp was the activities in the pool and the concession. It was actually funny because the preacher who was preaching all of the sermons other than Pastor Metzinger is actually from the church that I go to in Oklahoma. So that was pretty cool. My favorite sermon was either the first or the last, where he talked about being ready when the Lord calls you to do something, or being all in, because I know I need to be more for Christ. And I'm thankful for being able to come on this trip, and to Brother Vizi and Brother Marino for tolerating us.
Well, my team won, so that was great. The food was actually better than normal, so that was very nice. I would say my favorite thing was the pool or just hanging out with my friends. My favorite sermon was on Tuesday morning when Brother Ted talked about being thankful of what I have, because sometimes I know that I could be more thankful. Finally, I just want to thank everybody who just participated in this, and for Brother Vizi and Brother Metz up with us. Thank you.
So first, I want to thank my parents for letting me go, and we called Brother Aaron our temporary dad, so I want to thank him for sticking up with us, or putting up with us, and I want to thank Brother Metzinger for taking over the camp, and Brother Chuck, whatever he did. My favorite message was on Tuesday night when Brother Ted was talking about being real, and he used like an Oreo as an example, because other people try to copy what Oreo is. So I liked that because I know that sometimes I pretend like I'm not actually a Christian. So I liked that a lot. And then the food was really good. My favorite food was probably the
Dorito casserole.
Thank you.
This was my second year of camp. The message that spoke to me the most was he preached about how you need to make sure you have good friends and you hang out with the right people. And when I sat down, all of my friends just started comforting me, and that showed me that I have the good friends that I need. And by the way, we had another thing that was safe again this year. It was domino. We did dominoes with mattresses, and the food was a lot better this year. The food was a lot better this year. My favorite was probably the pancakes. Yep. And my favorite part was probably just being able to getting closer to my friends and to everyone else. And I want to thank my dad, my mom for paying for it, and I want to thank Brother Chuck for driving us, and I can't wait for next year.
My team lost, so that was a bummer. There are lots of things that I liked about camp. My favorite part about camp was the activities, because it was fun and exciting to see got the most points. God spoke to me through Brother Ted Enman's preaching. It was 7 sermons, but my favorite one was the one where he talked about being real. You must be a real Christian and not pretend that you're not. I am thankful for my parents for letting me go to this camp, and I am thankful for the food and the workers and our counselor, Brother Veasley.
Greatest gift was sent from heaven. And I just want to thank Brother Chuck for putting up with all of our us teen boys when we're up talking to each other at like 11. And the pastor for running the camp. He did a great job. And Miss Metzinger for playing the piano. And Brother Aaron for protecting the juniors, because who knows what they can do. And so now I'm going to preach. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Chronicles 7. I'll be reading verses 14 through 16. Verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Verse 15, "Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine ears and my eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." Can you forgive without an apology? If your definition of forgiveness is to release the person, your hurt and your anger to God, then you can forgive without an apology. But if by forgiveness you mean reconciliation, then an apology is a necessary ingredient. Christians are instructed to forgive others in the same manner that God forgives us. How does God forgive us? 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In 2 Chronicles 7, the Lord tells Solomon that he will forgive the people if they pray humbly and repent. Nothing in the scriptures indicates that God forgives the sins of people who do not confess and repent. We often want our friends and family to just forget about what happened. We don't want to talk about it, and we don't want to apologize. We just want it to go away. But things don't just go away. God has provided a pattern for human forgiveness, and that pattern requires apologizing for our wrongs. The apology is a way of accepting responsibility for our behavior and expressing regret. We recognize that what we did to our friends and family has put a barrier between us, and we show that we want it to be removed. When we apologize, we are likely to receive forgiveness. As I close, I have a couple of verses on for confession. But before that, can you please turn to Daniel 9? As you turn there, I have a couple of verses on confession. James 15:16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual servant prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Daniel 9, I will be reading verses 3 through 5. Verse 3, "And I set my face unto the Lord God, and seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precedents and from thy judgments." Here is a prayer on confession. "Father, thank you for your promises of forgiveness for those who confess their sins and turn away from them. Please help me to be willing to confess my wrongs to my friends or family, so that he or she can forgive me freely. Too often I try to pretend that nothing happened, but I know that that's not what you want. Change my heart, Lord. Amen."
I enjoyed being able to spend time with family and friends. My favorite part besides the messages was on Tuesday night. As we were going to bed, we were all very giggly, and we have no idea why, but we just couldn't stop laughing. The preaching was very good, but my favorite part was actually on Monday in our girls' devotions given by Miss Foster. She spoke about attitudes and how you can turn something bad into something good with just your attitude. She also said attitudes are contagious, so if you have a bad one, other people can feel it and it can change their attitude. And so that really spoke to me because especially this past year, there's been a lot of stuff that hasn't been very easy to have a good attitude about. So if I change my attitude about the bad things, they won't seem as so bad. I'd like to thank everyone who had a part in us going to camp, Preacher for stepping up and taking over the camp, Miss Metzinger for coming and playing the piano, Miss Terry and Miss Foster for being our counselors, my dad for driving the girls to and from camp, and my parents for letting me go. Thank you.
I really enjoyed camp this year. It was nice to spend so much time with my friends and God. My favorite part about camp was just hanging out with everyone. You really get to know your friends on a deeper level when you spend so much time with them. I especially loved our midnight laugh sessions, where we were all cracking jokes and laughing our heads off. Although, as much as I enjoyed it, I'm sure that our counselors and the other dorms did not. I had two favorite sermons this week, which I believe tie together pretty nicely. The first one was one of our nightly devotions from Miss Foster. She talked about how having a good attitude can make any bad situation much better and how our attitudes are contagious. The other one was our Tuesday morning service from Brother Ted Inman. He taught about being thankful and how we need to be thankful for the things we have. I believe that these go hand in hand because when you have a good attitude, it's much easier to be thankful for the things you have. But if you have a bad attitude, you're more likely to be upset over the things you don't have. I'd like to thank everyone for praying for our safety at camp. I'd like to thank my parents for letting me go and for Pastor Miss Metzinger and Brother Chuck for making it possible. Miss Alice and Miss Terry for putting up with us. I know it couldn't be easy to deal with 12 girls who are always either super hyper, tired, or, you know, just emotional. So I thank them the most. Camp was a lot of fun.
I apologize in advance for my camp voice. All raspy now, so. I'd like to start off by thanking everybody who made it possible for us to go up. First, my mom for being able to give us permission to go, and then for Pastor stepping up in a big way and taking over so that we could still go. Mrs. Messinger for playing the piano, and our lovely teen girl counselors for putting up with us all week. I think one of my favorite parts about the week, besides the preaching, was the volleyball, because there were so many of us that just played it, even though, like, we weren't professionals at it, so it was, like, kind of funny to watch, like, how we would be positioned trying to, like, go and grab it, so. And then Brother Inman was also, like, a very amazing speaker. It was, like, he was so much fun to listen to, and I loved how he had analogies for all of his messages. They just made them come alive to me, and I loved, he wrote songs every night, and some of them were pretty goofy, so. I think the way that God spoke to me the most this week was being a good friend. It's pretty amazing because it was repeated quite a few times throughout the week. Pastor preached on it once, two of the teen boys had it in their sermons, and we also had a girl's devotion on it one night, so it was like, hey, God really wants us to pay attention to this one. And I think the biggest thing for me is not only paying attention to the friends that I pick to influence me, but how am I influencing my friends? Am I being a good friend and a good influence? And then, of course, that goes hand in hand with having a good attitude, because I can't be a good influence without a good attitude. And then I think my favorite sermon from Brother Inman was being all in. He gave this one really good example that kind of just clicked it all in for me. He gave, like, with breakfast, the pig gave everything for, you know, like, bacon. And then, like, the chicken would only, like, he'd only have to, like, lay a few eggs. It didn't mean much to him, but the pig had to, like, give everything, like, for that. So it was a goofy analogy, but it honestly just, like, brought it all together and made me think more about that, so. Thank you.
First of all, I would just like to thank my parents for letting me go, and Brother VZ for driving us, and Brother Chuck and Preacher and Miss Metzinger for making it possible for us to go. I would like to thank Miss Foster and my mom for putting up with us all week. My favorite part of camp, other than the preaching, was probably playing volleyball with our group. It was super fun, and I made a lot of good memories from playing. And the thing that spoke to me the most during this week is one of the devotions Miss Foster talked about. She talked about how your attitude affects other people around you. And she talked about how you should have a good Christian attitude about things. I had a fun time at camp this year, and I can't wait to go next year.
Well, this was my third year of senior camp, and it was a blast. My favorite part of camp, besides the preaching, was how we all bonded together, and when we were down, we were all able to find ways to make each other laugh. All the preaching was really good, but the one that spoke to me the most was actually one of our nighttime devotions that most of all of us girls have mentioned. She talked about how our attitudes can affect others and how if you smile, it makes others want to smile. And that's my goal in life. I really think that should be everyone's goal in life. If you look around at people, some people are smiling, some aren't. Ones that really I notice almost every church service is Miss Johnson and Miss Metzinger. There's hardly ever a time you find them not smiling, and I really think that should be something that we all should really want to do. I want to thank everyone that made this year possible. I am so blessed to have a church family and friend group that God blessed me with. I want to thank everyone that was a part of this year, and I want to thank Miss Johnson for making all of us culottes. It's such a blessing to have her in our church that makes us all culottes and dresses. It's truly something that we all should be really grateful for. I can't wait to go next year. Thank you.
Well, the food was good, and the room was loud, pretty much. So every year there's obviously, like, three different team colors. And I was on the red team, and obviously we won. Like, trials not win. So the speaker this year was Brother Ted Inman. Some of all of his messages were the 7 B's. All of them were really good. I was just trying to pick one, like, down to one, but there were two that touched me more than the other five, and those were the ones on Tuesday and Wednesday night. On Tuesday night, his message was Be Real. He used the illustration of Oreos and Walmart brand Oreos and how they might look the same, but there's a difference. Christianity can be like that. Some Christians look the part on Sundays, Wednesdays, and at church activities, but the next day, there isn't a difference between them and the world. While real Christians are always living for God, and they are right with him. He asked us if we were real Oreos or non-Oreos. On Wednesday, his message was Be Aware. Brother Ted used the story of Elisha and the sons of the prophets and how they were poisoned because one of the sons of the prophets went out without even being asked and got a wild boar. He said that we need to be cautious about who we let into our lives because we never know who will poison us. Brother Ted also said, are you poisoning people? I realized that in my life, I've let some people into my life in that probably aren't the best for me because they drag me down and they don't like strengthen my walk with God. Altogether, it was one of my favorite years for a ton of reasons. I want to first off thank my parents for paying, Miss Metzinger for playing and making us all sound so much better. I would like to also thank Preacher for heading up the camp, for Brother Chuck for taking us, Brother Aaron for being one of the most fun camp drivers I've ever been in a car with, Miss Terry and Miss Alice for putting up with all of us girls, like everybody has said, at 1 in the morning when we were supposed to be asleep, but we were all laughing like maniacs and talking about the weirdest things, and for helping me make some of the decisions I made. And to all the teen girls who are always there, and they're just like godly influences that I need in my life. Also, thank you to all of you who were praying for God to work in our life, because I know personally he worked in my life. I can't wait to go next year.
In If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I'd have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for more taking you.
Yours is the glory, yours is the name.
above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
I was going to be last, but I just wanted to start by saying thank you to Pastor and everyone else who was a part of getting us to camp, and it was my first year, and I had a lot of fun. It was just good to be around people my age, and I guess the food was okay. Kind of keep forgetting what I'm going to say. What God was speaking to me about this week was friends, like being the right friend, and having the right friends. Like, even you can have a bad friend even in church, you know, like you have to be careful with that. And yeah, sorry, oh my word. Thank you to everyone who was there to get us to camp. Thank you.
First off, I want to thank my parents for paying for me to go to camp and allowing me to. I want to thank Preacher and Ms. Metzinger for making this all possible. And I want to thank Brother Chuck for driving us there and putting up with us boys. Also, just want to thank everyone that prayed for us this week. My favorite part of camp was all the social things. I got to meet so many new friends and got to know older ones as well. I got to know them better. Then I have another favorite thing. It was when the boys, we did something new with our shoes every single day, like new design. Yeah, it was awesome. All the messages Brother Inman preached spoke to me, but the one that really spoke to me was on Tuesday night about being a real Christian and not pretending to be something that you aren't. He told us that real Christians stand for what's right, even if you're the only one standing, and he told us not to defile ourselves by what we hear, see, and do. Then he said that we have to find real good Christian friends that will correct you if you need to be corrected and point you in the right direction and influence your walk with God. And that just pointed out a lot of things that I got to get better in my life. So thank you.
Well, there was only five of us, but we bought 26 pairs of shoes. So. Sunday night was probably my favorite just because it was just our church and all us boys were just playing basketball all night until we had to go to bed. And Brother Inman did a great job preaching this week and all his illustrations were really good. The message that stuck with me the most was Wednesday night, and the title of the message was Be Aware. We need to be aware of what we watch, what goes in our ears, and what we say. God puts a fence around us and he lets in what he wants in and keeps out what he wants kept out. And thank you to everyone who prayed for us this week, and Pastor and Ms. Messinger for letting us go. And Chuck actually did a lot this week, more than people know. He was sitting on the floor, on the cold concrete, with his computer, typing up all the slides for all the days of every week. Thank you.
Many things that happened before, but Pastor stood up in a big way and made this happen, and it worked in a lot of people's lives. We had three saved. It worked in my heart, and it's worked in all our teens' lives. And I'm just so thankful for a pastor who has a heart for our teenagers, and he said, the devil will not take away camp this year. And especially since it was my last year, I just appreciate it so much. You too, Brother Chuck, I know you did a lot. Not even just getting to camp, but at camp, there was a lot of work put in to this, and everybody helped out, and it was just such a huge blessing in my life. And I'm just so happy that we got to go. Happy that I got to spend all this time with my teenagers group, especially our teenage boys in the dorm. We can just be ridiculous so many times. Bringing our 26 pairs of shoes, we did a lot of ridiculous things. One night we stayed up and we were like, okay, boys, what do we got to do today? What are we going to do with our shoes today? So we had these bunk beds in the middle of a room, and we had this great idea to spread them apart, and the mattresses were blue. So we stood up the mattresses in between the bunk beds, and we had a little teddy bear with a staff parting the Red Sea, and then we had our 26 pairs of shoes walking through the Red Sea. We are, teenager boys are smart, okay? We have some great ideas. It was just so much fun. I love these guys, and it's just so much fun getting to spend time with them. This year, as it's my last, I was just soaking up every second I had with these guys, and just, I'm so happy that we got camp this year. And the Lord really spoke to me through Brother Inman, all of Brother Inman's messages. They were so good, and even pastor's messages and the nightly devotions. But the one that really stuck to me is Brother Inman's message about being all in. He used the text, Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He gave us all these points in this verse to why we need to be all in for God. It is our reasonable service because of all that God has done for us. It is only our duty to do everything we can for Him and just be all in for Him and give Him all that we have. And now I'm going to do my sermon. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 27. That's where we'll be. I'm going to be talking about friendships, and we hear it all the time. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. But the sad thing is, many of us hear that so much that we tend not to think much of it. And we fail to really let it affect us and cause us to be careful about who we choose to be our friends. The impact that a friend will have on your life is unimaginable and unknowable. Friends can either build you up or tear you down. And in that case, if they tear you down, they are not your friends. The challenge is being and finally godly friends. And this is not only in teenagers' lives. A bad friend can come in your life in any age in your life. And this is something we need to be careful about throughout our whole lives. And the Bible shows us what a true friend is. And that's what I'm going to be trying to explain to you today, is what a true friend is. So Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The Bible tells us many things of what a godly friend is. The first attribute I want to explain is a godly friend is kind. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. A kind friend will forgive you no matter how bad or how many times you wronged them. And this is not to say that we should go and wrong all our friends just to see if they are kind. It is to say that if we have godly friends, they will forgive us, and they will not hold our wrongs over our heads just to make themselves look better or us look worse. We each must try to show God's grace and mercy to our friends and all those around us, as He has shown such great grace and mercy to us for Christ's sake. A godly friend is also faithful. Proverbs 27:10 says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. What this verse is saying is that in our days of adversity or great affliction, it is good to go to a friend that is always willing to be there for you. A faithful friend will not leave you when times get rough, and they will stay by your side through it all, encouraging you in the Lord and doing whatever they can to help you. A godly friend also makes you a better person. Our text, Proverbs 27:17, says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends." The purpose of friends are to help you be the best version of yourself so that you may fulfill what God has for your life. And so if a friend is always seems to be a stumbling block in your way to becoming a better Christian, that friend is not your friend and is actually a hindrance in your Christian walk and needs to be dealt with. Strive to find friends that will motivate you to be a better Christian and person. Next attribute it tells us how a friend can help us be better. It is a godly friend is willing to wound. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." A friend is not scared to tell you if you are doing something that is displeasing to God. They will be brutally honest with you, and they will not make things up just to make themselves look good. The word faithful there means true or reliable. So the wounds or honest words of a friend are to be trusted and then acted upon, so that you may become a better Christian and get rid of those things that are displeasing to God. A godly friend can share friends. Philippians 2:1-5 says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We should never get to the point where we think that our group of friends can't accept anyone else or that someone is not good enough to be our friend. God tells us in these verses to be humble and to esteem others better than ourselves. The truth is that we are all sinners and we all deserve hell. Yet God loved us enough to send his son to die for our sins on a cross that we might be saved. So because of the love that Christ has shown toward us, it is our duty to show that love to others each and every day. Which means we cannot think of ourselves as too good for someone. Rather, we must love others more than ourselves. Seek to achieve unity in your friend group and always be accepting of new friends that will help you achieve your goal of becoming better Christians and growing in your relationship with God. A godly friend expresses love. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." A friend will love you no matter what, and there are many different ways that they can express that love to you. It could be through a gift, kind words, telling them that you are praying for them and then actually praying for them, or it could just be a simple hug. There are so many ways to express your love, but the point is that we should make an effort to let the friends in our lives know that we love them, even to the point that we would die for them. This will lead to them feeling comfortable enough to share their heart with you, and which then gives you the opportunity to strengthen them in God, which is another attribute of a godly friend. They will strengthen you in God. 1 Samuel 23:16 says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God." Jonathan at this time knew that David was scared for his life as King Saul was trying to hunt him down and kill him. So Jonathan, being the godly friend that he was, found David and encouraged him in God. Godly friends will always be there to encourage you whether everything is good or whether everything in your life seems to be going wrong and you have no idea what to do. You can always trust that a godly friend will give you biblical counsel and that what they are saying is the truth from God's word. You and your friends should often talk about God and the things of God. You can rejoice together when he blesses you, and you can strengthen each other when things are bad. Whatever the circumstance, God should be glorified and his name honored. If you have a godly group of friends, you will find that getting on fire for God is a whole lot easier than if you were doing it by yourself. And maybe if you would even be considered in your friend considered normal in your friend group. The world will think that you are just a group of weirdos, but the world is not what we are to be concerned about. We are to be concerned with how God views us and thinks of us, and that we are fulfilling his desire for our lives. Now that we know what a godly friend looks like, there's the danger of bad friends. 2 Corinthians 16:14-18 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." It is clearly defined in these verses that we need to separate ourselves from those that are in opposition with God. Then not only are we to separate ourselves from them, but we are to be separated unto God. Why? Well, verses 16 through 18 tell us why. They say, "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate." So because we are the temple of the most holy God, we are to keep ourselves pure and wholly committed to Him. And if we do so, God promises us blessings. Verses 17 through 18 tells us of these blessings. They say, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." God promises us to receive us and be a father to us, and a father will always take care of his children. If you are a child of God, you can have peace in knowing that your heavenly Father loves you, and he will always provide for you with what you need and so much more. So because of the promises and blessings from God, we need to not be unequally tied to those that will pull us away from God. And not only do we need to be careful about that, but we need to surround ourselves with godly believers who will challenge you to be a better Christian and who will be a true friend to you. As you separate yourself unto God, build godly characteristics in your life so that you may be a godly friend to others and so that you all may fulfill what God has for you.
Time we'll hear some testimonies from the counselors.
I had the privilege of taking care of the junior boys. Ooh, let me tell you. Overall, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. But I will say I did use money once to get them to be quiet. And it worked really well. So all it took was a dollar for each of them at the concession stand to go to bed and be quiet. Not a peep. And so that was fantastic. The other thing is that I went skin color like medium, came back well done. That it was hot but it had a great time driving the ladies in the van. I just don't even know what to. Like just nonstop. Now, until we stopped on the way back, we got food in them, and then they all just like were out. And so next time we eat before we leave, and then we're good. It was great. Had a great time. I love camp, and I've always joked that once I was old enough to be done with camp, that like why go back? And then you go back, and it's fun and. And I love our group and the attitudes that they have, the tenderness that they have from the oldest to the youngest. It was just really awesome to watch them together, and the older ones would include the younger ones on some stuff, and that was great. And the preaching. I've always loved Brother Ted. We were able to be down at Southwest at Heartland for 4 years, going to college, and so we had heard many messages from him. He is one of my favorites. He just has a way of connecting with young people and doing it in a way that can reach the younger, the older, and the older. And the kiddos have already talked about it. The two messages that I think just really spoke to most was "Be Real," and again with the Oreo cookie, and you can take a real Oreo with a cold glass of milk, and there's just not much better than that. You can take it anywhere, and it does not change. It's real. You take a fake one, and you don't know who it is. When you eat it, you can just tell there's something a little bit different. And the point of that was to be real all of the time. No matter where you're at, where you go, be 100% real. And then the other one that tied in with that was being all in. And again, it was already talked about with the breakfast, and maybe it's just a food thing that that makes me enjoy it. I don't know. But again, with the bacon and eggs, you can't get much better than that. But with the chicken, again, just giving a little bit here and there, it's good, but they're just doing a little bit. God wants us to be all in, be ready, all in, all of the time. And it was just a great time at camp. I got to do the audio with limited equipment, and it was just at times can be frustrating, but at times can be fun, and just had a really good time. And looks like we're going to do it again next year, and so looking forward to it.
Well, it was my third year to go to camp. I didn't get to go to camp growing up, and so going as a counselor is quite an honor, and it's always a lot of fun. The food was good because I didn't have to cook. I cooked no meals the entire week. And the lack of sleep, it was real, but it made it all better when I said, good night, I love you, and I get 10 girls saying I love you too. So it made up for it, even though it was 1 o'clock. And I think they kind of schemed this whole lights out thing with this, like, I don't know, decorative lights that they hung up in the room. And then those don't go off until 1 o'clock in the morning. But they were a lot of fun to have in the room. The junior camp girls taught me how to play a game called Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. And I'm pretty certain that they made fun of me a lot while we were playing that game. And being a leader doesn't always mean that I knew what I was doing. So there were times that they would ask me and I would say, I don't know. I have no idea what we're supposed to do. So it's kind of like the blind leading the blind sometimes. But all of the parents, you should be very proud of your junior campers and senior campers, because there was not a moment that I would see them and not think, those are my kids. Those are kids that I'm proud of. That we have some amazing young people. The messages were great. I just love the way, I know Brother Aaron said it, but he can speak to 9-year-olds and he can speak to teenagers, but then he can also speak to the adults that are there. That just the messages were great. And he said that there were the 7 B's, and the 7 B's were be ready, be thankful, be real, be wise, be aware, be separate, and be all in. And they were all wonderful messages, but in the end, on Friday morning, he just summed it all up and said, trying to be in your own strength will not be successful, and that you really, like, you just have to have God intervene. And Philippians 2:13, he said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his great pleasure, and that you definitely need to have God cooperating in your heart to or leading in your heart to do these 7 things. But it was great. I made some new friends and got to know a few different people that I didn't know before. So, and thank you for letting me go.
Well, I'm very thankful for our kids from our church. They are such a blessing to me, and they are. It makes me so happy that they are willing to jump in and take care of things that just need to be done. You can ask them to do anything. They'll run, go get whatever, because they've got, you know, young legs, and they'll run and go get whatever. And I appreciate them so much. And their testimony to each other and their testimony to the other kids at camp has been just superb. They've got a wonderful testimony. And I know that this camp was fought. Satan really did try and shut it down. And it amazed me. I just want to thank the Lord for the other leadership that was willing to step in and really do over and above on, you know, every church didn't sit back and do nothing. They didn't sit in their bunk and take naps in the afternoon. The adults were out doing what they needed to do to make this camp run. And I am so thankful because God did this. He pulled this all together, and every little detail was taken care of long before we even knew anything bad was going to happen. And one of my favorite things was to watch Heritage Baptist Church, which went through the hardship that they've gone through. They sang, I've been blessed. And they sang it at church. And through whatever we go through in life, God can still bless us. And he has. And he did this week.
Well, we're very thankful for our young people. They're pretty awesome. Love each one of them. Thankful for them. We started an experiment 3 years ago when we went to COVID camp. So it was in 2020. All the camping ideas got out of kilter because COVID. Dare you go? Dare you not go? And so I came to the church and I said, hey, we've been invited to go to camp. It was in July. And we combined the junior campers with the senior campers. And I think there was a little bit of angst, you know. We were anxious about, will it work? Can older brother and younger brother or older sister and younger sister get along at camp? And I'm telling you, it was pretty awesome this week to watch the olders mix with the youngers and how they kind of watch out for each other and have fun with one another. It was just really cool. So I think the answer is yes, they can do it. They may not do it at your house, but they can do it in a camp setting. And so that was really exciting. And then Brandon Scholl, pastors down at Faith Baptist in Spokane, Missouri. And Brother Brandon, myself, and Brother Chuck have been meeting with Brother Deadman through the year, trying to get him more organized. And that was all, I believe, of God to get us ready for the tragedy that happened, so that Brother Scholl and myself went together to kind of spearhead of the camp. I took the lead, but he was right there to help in whatever area I saw we would need his help. And he's just willing to step in. So he was a great help and a great reason. And then, like Miss Cindy said, everyone who's gone to this camp goes to help. And I would have preachers come up and go, hey, what can our group do? And so we give them, you know, something to do, and they do it. And we've been in camp settings where half the counselors were laying in bed during the day. Their kids were out running amok, and that wasn't the way this camp was. Everybody was out, everybody was involved, and it was just such a blessing to be able to work with it. And you know, I thought about 4 years ago I'd step away from camp and look towards rest, but that's not God's will. So I volunteered to help Heritage next year, and probably the year after that. We're going to bring some organization, right, Brother Chuck? And we're going to help them get organized so that it will go smoother. Please pray for Heritage Baptist Church. I don't think they've dealt with the shock of what's happened to them yet, because they've been going. And that's going to set in soon enough. So if you'd pray for the fine people there. You know, when a tragedy like this happens, some people run. Some people stay. Some people get, you know, kind of hard to be around. And so we just need to pray that God's Spirit would fill that church, and they would have a love for one another and a concern for one another, that they might be able to continue on and call a pastor and be able to continue to serve the Lord together.
All right, I'm thankful for the church being able to be participating in helping the kids go to camp. I think even back to our fundraiser last year, where you all were such a big help in bringing the camp costs down a little bit for our families, and so I'm very appreciative of that. I was very appreciative to all of our kids, and certainly taking them can be quite a difficult task, but they made my job quite a bit easier overall for the most part. And so I'm appreciative to them of for that. And so I was able to see all of the talent competitions, and I just want you to know that you were represented well as a church. Our kids had good spirits about them, and they sang very well and preached well, as you took witness of tonight, and as well as many sports and activities and serving in the kitchen, the dining hall areas, and cleaning the camp when necessary. And so I want you to know that your kids didn't go and just hang out, and they did have a good time there, but they also represented our church very well. And so I just wanted you to know that. Just a couple of quick words of testimony, and then we'll have just a short invitation. So if you would go to 2 Kings chapter number 4, this message has been mentioned in a number of the testimonies, and I won't preach the entire thing. I'm cognizant of the time, but I just want to highlight a couple of things. So 2 Kings chapter number 4, something the Lord spoke to me about, and I believe that it was Tuesday night. 2 Kings chapter 4, a story that in the Bible that I had not been very familiar with, though I had read it. It's kind of one of those stories. It's only like 5 verses long, and so you kind of skip over it. Maybe don't think about it very much, but it's quite an interesting story. And so 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, "Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. And so they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, "O thou man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat thereof. But he said, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot. And he said, "Pour out for the people that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. And so quite an interesting story that Elisha is there with the sons of prophets. And they're cooking a little bit of meal for those folks. And you know, somebody just gets a wild idea to go, you know what this pot of beans really needs is a wild gourd. I don't know who thinks that, but these sons of the prophets thought that. And so they go out, and it says there that they collect a whole lap full of them, and they gather a bunch up, and they bring it back, and they cut it up, and they put it into the stew there, into the pot of beans. And it says that these gourds were not good. It caused the sons of the prophets to get sick. And so Brother Inman used that as an illustration. He brought a gourd and he set it on top of the podium there, and just to help visualize that. And he was very good at doing that throughout the week. But just a reminder that you got to be careful what comes in, because it can have very dangerous effects on you. And he didn't mention this particular verse, but my mind went to Proverbs 27, verse number 7. And it says that the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And so the principle is that the Lord reminded me of is that if you are empty, if you are hungry, you'll eat whatever's available. And so when you fill yourself with the things of the world, you're just not hungry for the things of God because you're already full. And so I'm reminded of the fast food slogan, "Come hungry, leave happy." Right? When you come to this place and you are looking forward to seeing what God has for you and you're hungry for what God has for you, you can come hungry and you can leave happy. And so just something that the Lord reminded me of. And another thing that the Lord reminded me of this week as well was that, you know, separating from the world can sometimes have you can sometimes feel that, right? I mean, you can feel separating from the world. Sometimes you feel like there's a loss there in your soul, and sometimes your flesh, it gets conformed to the world. But when you separate from that, there's a feeling of loss. But that feeling of loss is far overshadowed by the gain of Christ. The gain that you have from having Christ is far greater than any loss of the world that you could ever experience. And so just be sure that you have an appetite for the things of God, and understand that gaining Him is so much more important than gaining anything else. Because He's the one that truly satisfied, that truly satisfies. And God deserves more than the leftovers in your life. Brother Inman mentioned that. And so he deserves more than just whatever else is left. You go through your week, I understand you guys have busy weeks, we have busy weeks, and it's full of things, and so often it's easy to come into this place and just feel like, well, I'll just give Him whatever's left over, but God deserves far better than that. He deserves our best. He deserves the first fruits, as the book of Proverbs talks about. And so, and then also I have this note that I missed my wife way too much, though. I don't know how it got in there. No, but I really did miss my wife, and she was able to spend some time with her folks in Texas while we were at camp. And I did miss her, and it made me recognize more so how important she is in my ministry to the teenagers, and just many things that she helps me with And so I'm grateful to be back with her, grateful that she's back home. And so at this time, we'll have a time of invitation just real quick. And so if you would bow your heads, close your eyes, and we'll have a piano begin to play. And certainly we've heard a lot from the Word this evening, and we've heard a lot about what God has done, and maybe there's something that God has spoken to you about through the testimony of these kids. And the book of Revelation talks about that we overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. And so testimonies are an important part. So as the piano begins to play, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, as we all stand together, maybe you would come to the altar, and we'll have a time. Brother Steve's going to sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way."
All right, we have a lot of announcements in this week. Church Queen sign-up is in the back, so that's for the second half of the year. So make sure you go back there and sign up for something. We have work day coming up this Saturday. We are going to be doing a lot of cutting down brush over here on the side. If you have any tools that would help with that, make sure and bring them along. We'll have some, but more would be helpful. And then also I suggest wearing some long sleeves or something because there is poison ivy back there. So if you're available to come out to that and help clean up that, it would be greatly appreciated. There's also going to be a special guest next week. We have the Redeemed Trio from Heartland Baptist Bible College. They'll be singing for us. Then next Sunday there's also a Brown Bakes, so we'll have an afternoon service at 1:30. And then on July 2nd, we have outreach starting at 9 o'clock here at the church. So make sure and set aside time for that. And then VBS will be starting on July 17th and go through the July 20th. So make sure and set aside time for that, just to help make it a special time for the kids in our church and the kids that we can bring to that as well. Also, just keep Matt Potts' mom in your prayers with all the health issues she's going through right now. Brother Scott, would you mind... Brother Scott, would you mind praying for us tonight?
Thank you.